So let us be still together as we prepare to worship God. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. We join together to sing, "Be still for the presence of the Lord." Let us pray. As we come to worship, we seek the healing of mind and body that Jesus offered to all. Even when weary and longing for rest, he did not turn people away. We bring our anxieties and our fears. We bring our questions and our doubts. We bring our hopes and our longings. We bring our burdens for ourselves and for those who are closest to us. We bring our failings and we bring our weaknesses. Take everything that we are, Lord. Heal us and strengthen us and use us as your servants. Jesus, our shepherd, who makes us lie down in green pastures, leads us beside still waters. We are sorry, but sometimes we are rushing in our lives, so busy, even thinking that we are doing your work that we can't help you. We are sorry, but we make our lives so full of those moments.
Hi all, Leslie's having trouble with her computer, so while she's getting that reconnected, the next thing to happen, Steve Wemen, I think you're giving us a story, so perhaps if you could do that for us, thank you.
This is five Minutes Peace by Jill Murphy. Can you hear me? Hi. The children were having breakfast. This was not a pretty sight. Mrs. Large had had enough. She took a tray from the cupboard. She set it with a teapot, a milk jug, her favourite cup and saucer, a plate of marmalade toast, and a leftover cake from yesterday. She stuffed the morning paper into her pocket and sneaked off towards the door. "Where are you going with that tray, Mum?" asked Laura. "To the bathroom," said Mrs. Large. "Why?" asked the other two children. "Because I want 5 minutes peace from you lot," said Mrs. Large. "That's why." "Can we come?" asked Lester as they trailed up the stairs behind her. "No," said Mrs. Large, "you can't." "What shall we do then?" asked Laura. "You can play," said Mrs. Large, "downstairs by yourselves and keep an eye on the baby." "I'm not a baby," murmured the little one. Mrs. Large ran a deep, hot bath. She emptied half a bottle of bath foam into the water, plonked on her bath hat and got in. She poured herself a cup of tea and lay back with her eyes closed. It was heaven. Lester came in. "Can I play my tune?" he asked. Mrs. Large opened one eye. "Must you?" she asked. "I've been practicing," said Lester. "You told me to." "Go on then," sighed Mrs. Large. So Lester played Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star 3.5 times. Then in came Laura. "Can I read you a page from my reading book?" she asked. "No, Laura," said Mrs. Large. "Go on, all of you, off downstairs." "You let Lester play his tune," said Laura. "I heard you like him better than me. It's not fair." "Oh, don't be silly, Laura," said Mrs. Large. "Go on then, just one page." So Laura read. She read 4.5 pages of Little Red Riding Hood. Then in came the little one with a trunk full of toys. "For you," he beamed, flinging them all into the bathwater. "Thank you, dear," said Mrs. Large weakly. "Can I see the cartoons in the paper?" asked Laura. "Can I have the cake?" asked Lester. "Can I get in with you?" asked the little one. Mrs. Large groaned again. In the end, they all got in. The little one was in such a hurry, he forgot to take off his pajamas. Mrs. Large got out. She dried herself, put on her dressing gown and headed for the door. "Where are you going now, Mum?" asked Laura. "To the kitchen," said Mrs. Large. "Why?" asked Lester. "Because I want 5 minutes peace from you lot, that's why." And off she went downstairs, where she had 3 minutes and 45 seconds of peace before they all came in to join her.
We have two readings that we would share this morning. The first that Bron will read to us. Jeremiah uses two pictures of living safely under good leadership. One is of rulers as shepherds, the others is of the righteous branch. Those who will rule in a positive way will be leaders sent by God. But Jeremiah also criticizes the current leadership. And the second reading, which Derek will read to us, is a passage which is actually two connecting short pieces of text that are often overlooked because they are connecting verses between more prominent stories. Thank you, Sam.
The first reading is Jeremiah 23, verses 1 to 6. Hope for the future. How terrible will be the Lord's judgment on those rulers who destroy and scatter his people. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the rulers who were supposed to take care of his people. You have not taken care of my people. You have scattered them and driven them away. Now I am going to punish you for the evil you have done. I will gather the rest of my people from the countries where I have scattered them, and I will bring them back to their homeland. They will have many children and increase in number. I will appoint rulers to take care of them. My people will no longer be afraid or terrified, and I will not punish them again. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord says, the time is coming when I will choose as king a righteous descendant of David. That king will rule wisely and do what is right and just throughout the land. When he is king, the people of Judah will be safe, and the people of Israel will live in peace. He will be called the Lord our salvation. Amen.
You can hear me? Fine. The apostles returned and met with Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. There were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time to eat. So he said to them, let us go off by ourselves to some place where we will be alone and you can rest for a while. So they started out in a boat by themselves for a lonely place. Many people, however, saw them leave and knew at once who they were. So they went from all the towns and ran ahead by land and arrived at the place ahead of Jesus and his disciples. When Jesus got out of the boat, he saw this large crowd and his heart was filled with pity for them because they were so like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. It goes on, Jesus heals the sick in Gennesaret. They crossed the lake and came to land in Gennesaret, where they tied up the boat. As they left the boat, people recognized Jesus at once. So they ran through the whole region, and wherever they heard he was, they brought him to sick people lying on their mats. Everywhere Jesus went, to villages, towns, or farms, people would take those who were ill to the marketplace and beg him to let them at least touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were made well.
Hello to those of you who are in the room, and hello to those of you who are watching this at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. For all of you, we Kingston United Reformed Church, want to be able to help you develop as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The texts that I'm preaching on this day are Jeremiah 23, 1 to 6, and then Mark 6, verses 30 to 34, 53 to 56. My name is Leslie Charlton. If we can help you, get in touch. So read those readings and then come back in. Leadership is something that we're all involved in, even though many of us think actually leadership is what they do. But the truth is that this has been a season when at the very least Each one of us had to intentionally lead ourselves, because otherwise we were rummaging through cupboards, eating rubbish while watching hours of daft cat clips. Leadership is about change. In church, leadership is about God and about people. In these readings, we have two different aspects of it. One, what should be the vision, and two, how to keep going. I found myself raging recently in a meeting. No shocks there, Leslie, I hear you say. Raging because a minister would not take a day off. When did it become the 10 vague suggestions, I asked. They are commandments. We are commanded to rest. It is vital for our health and our mental well-being, but it's also vital theologically too. A Sabbath says, see all this work I do? Well, God could do it without me. It's not about me, it's about God. It says there are more important things than making money. It says take time to rest. It says we are flesh and blood and we need to treat ourselves that way. So for Jesus, the disciples come back, and for him to get rest with them is the priority, and we need to see that. The passage from Jeremiah makes it clear how it works. We are not born to idleness. It is not our role to sit around doing nothing. Our job is to do what the Lord requires. It is God who is in charge. In this instance, it was God who will gather the scattered sheep. It is God who will bring them back to the fold. It is God who will raise up new shepherds. Now, the truth is, with all these activities, people were at work. But they did what they did as God's agents. God is where proactivity happens. Our job is to spot it and then put our shoulder to God's wheel. We invent nothing. We do not have meetings where we come up with the strategy and then pray that God will bless it. No, we will be people who discern the signs of the times, then act as God wants us to act, because God is in charge and we know that once we've done what the Lord requires, we can stop and we can rest. The big vision for the shepherds is the good of the sheep, not the good of the shepherds. For Jeremiah has seen the kings let the people down. They have not done what the Lord requires. They have become focused on the easy life. And that's how Herod got himself into the place of having John the Baptist's head cut off. He lost his moral compass. The kings Jehoiakim and Zedekiah have failed in leadership, and that has led to the people being taken into exile. A shepherd's role was to gather the sheep together and to protect them. The shepherds of Judah have made policy decisions that place the people in peril and ultimately.
Okay, I think there's actually a problem with the video file.
In as much as sharing, they need the help of the people, those that they went to, otherwise they would have starved. And that model of dependency, of servant leadership, is very different from how we tend to see things. We look at ourselves, and then if we have a little bit left over, we give it away, or not. We probably use it to build bigger and bigger barns. However, Jesus has the apostles going out, needing help straight away to do their work. They return, and immediately Jesus' reaction is to secure a private place where the disciples can rest. The wilderness, which had provided Jesus with relief earlier, was the logical place. It had served before. A place of rest, of restoration, as it is presented in Mark's Gospel. But also a place on the edge, trying to find a place where they can eat in a leisurely manner was becoming increasingly difficult as the news of Jesus spread. Food and eating are prominent themes in the narrative in Mark. However, he tries to get away, but Jesus' ministry has expanded to such an extent that the people hunt him down. And Jesus is moved with compassion for them and begins to preach. But let's be clear, this is a man who kept the Sabbath and who wants to talk to his disciples with a bit of privacy, a bit of let's get some space together. And he is moved by the plight of the people. The phrase sheep without a shepherd is about God's stand against those who no longer care for the sheep, those who would abuse them. Surely, again, this links back to Herod and the previous scene about the executed John. The rulers of the people exploiting their power, as opposed to Jesus, who feeds the common people. The priority is to serve. To do that in the long term, we need to care for ourselves, physically, mentally, and spiritually. We need to remember that what we do with others, and above all else, we need to check that we are doing God's will and not merely what is bigger and brighter and new and our fancy. It will not always be easy, but ease is not the basis of us making our choices. Amen.
Thank you, Sam and Martin. Have a cold shower after this. Just relax under a duvet somewhere. For the rest of us, let us pray. Lord, your compassion for the crowds that swamped you was ever present. Compassionate Lord, we bring before you now our brothers and sisters around the world. In those places where churches are being destroyed, like in China. In South Africa, where many are being threatened with guns if they set foot outside of their homes, and they are becoming increasingly short of food. Lord, we pray. Lord, you took the disciples away from the crowds to rest and find refreshment. And we pray for your church today that we would be people who lean into you, who do our work, who do it well and fully, and then know how to rest. We pray for your guidance at these times of finding new rhythms, with the convenience of things on Zoom. Is this worship that we offer? And Lord, we ask for your guidance for the elders and leaders of our church to find ways to develop us in our discipleship, not merely as consumers of a lecture that we watch. And we ask as we move from one thing to another thing, that we would find a healthy balance in the rhythm of life's rushing and resting. We pray for those who are in the middle of crisis. We think of the people of South Africa, of course, but also we think of those in mainland Europe, those living with the flooding, those businesses working out what it means that the legal obligations and responsibilities with the COVID legislation have been taken away. And we pray for those who are anxious, fearful. Lord, as the crowds came to you, we pray for those who are burnt out by their giving to others. We pray for those who are sick, for those who are bereaved, and gracious Lord, we hold up the burdens that are ours. Those people and situations that are heavy in our hearts. And we pray for ourselves. Guide us, Lord Jesus, in the using of our time. To know when to push through and when to stop. And we offer all our prayers, those offered in silence and those spoken out loud, all in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have the notices that we'll send round this afternoon. We know that as we move out of this time of, what would you call it, the rules, the clarity of the rules in terms of masks and distancing and hand cleaning, that for some that's fine and dandy, but for others it's not. So what we're going to do is in the, when you walk into the building, Kingston United Reformed Church's building, you walk in, there will be an option to grab a lanyard that will indicate to others that you require a bit of space. So that's for those of you who think maybe I'd like to come down for a coffee, maybe I'd like to go to something, but I'm a bit anxious. So this is an option. And equally, if you want to wear a mask in our building, you wear a mask in our building. That's absolutely fine. Nobody's going to say anything to you. But the lanyards are there as well. Just to say, give me a bit of space, please. We want to restart the dancing. If you're free to volunteer on a Friday afternoon, we need some people to help make that happen. We'll just see what happens, see who turns up, see how it works. That's what we're going to go. We start next Friday at 6 in the morning, 24 hours of prayer. If you would be interested in hosting an hour, would you speak to me, please? We've already heard the new organ. We've heard about it. And there will be other times to hear it, and I'll send you the information for those activities. We're particularly called to pray, please, for Rosemary Moore, who's with us this morning. Good to see you, Rosemary. And to pray for Rosemary, and also to pray for Katie Frost, hold those our sisters in Christ up before God at this time. I'm now going to dedicate our offering and then move to our Holy Communion. So let us pray. Eternal God, we come with these gifts to offer our sacrifice of praise and the service of our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So in the name of the Lord Jesus, we take this bread and this cup and we give thanks to God. Let us pray. With joy we give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, source of all life and love. That we live in your world, that you are always creating and sustaining it by your power, and that you have made us that we may know and love you, trust and serve you. And we give you thanks that you loved the world so much that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who has faith in him may not die but have eternal life. We thank you that Jesus was born among us, that he lived our common life on the earth, that he suffered and died for us, and that he rose again, that he is always present through the Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can live in the faith that your kingdom will come, and that in life, in death, and beyond death, you are with us. Accept our sacrifice of praise, and as we eat and drink at his command, unite us to Christ as one body in him, and give us strength to serve you in the world. And to you, one holy and eternal God, Creator, Son, and Spirit, we give praise and glory now and forever. Amen. He took bread, he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you." He took the cup, wine poured out. "This is my blood," he said, "it is shed for you." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. Good Shepherd, come to us in our frailty and bathe us with your compassion. Warm us with your smile, embrace us with your truth, feed us with your word. Lord Jesus, through your work in our lives, may you be seen a little. Let us not forget and always rejoice that you are like a shepherd, feeding, guiding, protecting, and nurturing into life. Tend our deepest need. Set us on the right path. And give us a true sense of the way. Rescue us from dangerous places and keep us safe from harm. Lord, we pray. Amen. So after our final hymn, there's breakout rooms, and of course there's a service in the building today at 11:30, which, thank you Maddie, is Maddie's leading, and service at 5:00, which Carol Clack is leading, which again will be Holy Communion. Most welcome. After the benediction, please stick around for the breakout rooms, but otherwise we will sing Lord of All Hopefulness. For go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those who we love wherever they are. And all God's people said, Amen.